This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
This is Let's Talk Horses on the RFD Radio Network. I'm Jason Vance. Joining me is Denise Ferris, one of the country's leading horse attorneys. Today we're going to visit about sales fraud in the horse industry. And Denise, what are some of the types of sales fraud that can be seen with horses?
You normally will see sales fraud arising in three circumstances. One would be what we call fraudulent or intentional misrepresentation, where the seller specifically fails to disclose relevant information to the buyer that they know is very important in that transaction. The second would be negligent misrepresentation, which means that the seller knew or should have known that particular information was important and either misrepresented it or failed to disclose that to the buyer. The third area, which is getting a lot more attention now, is the issue of commission agents, trainers, or third parties within the transaction that failed to disclose that they may be representing both parties at the same time and or the amount of commissions that they're receiving on those sales.
So does the old adage, the buyer beware, apply to the sale of a horse?
To a large extent, it still does apply, Jason. It entails that the buyer should do its own due diligence and have a list of pertinent questions and have that in writing along with the contract. That said, there still is a trend that is maximizing the obligations on the part of the seller to be truthful as long as they know information that goes directly to how that horse is going to be used.
Now, what are the legal rights of a buyer and a seller in a horse sale transaction?
The buyer and the seller are both going to want to have contracts drafted that protect their specific interest. The seller obviously is going to want to sell as is to the greatest extent possible. The buyer is going to want to have the maximum number of warranties and protections. So a good contract is important. If the sale goes bad, the parties also want to think about having an arbitration and a recovery of attorney's fees clause that allows them to get into court and get it resolved much quicker. The causes of action would be breach of contract, misrepresentation, and breach of warranty. In some instances, the contract could also be a breach of fiduciary duty, particularly where you have a sales agent that's supposed to be working in your best interest.
Now, what can be done to avoid disputes and lawsuits when buying or selling horses?
Having very clear written communications back and forth, having very clear terms and conditions in terms of what each party's respective rights are, and having that important arbitration clause, which allows you to get in before an arbitrator and get it resolved very quickly and with the minimal cost of legal fees.
What are some of the other aspects of buying and selling horses that should be considered to try and avoid a problem?
I think, again, you want to concentrate on the level of sophistication of the parties that are involved. If you are a seller and you know that the person buying the horse is buying it for a youth or a child, you've got a higher duty to disclose any information that would show that that horse might be inappropriate or unsafe. Conversely, if you're dealing with people that are very sophisticated in the industry and have done a lot of these agreements back and forth, then there's the presumption that each party comes to the table as a sophisticated buyer-seller, and it's not quite as important to do that level of disclosure.
You mentioned a little bit about some of the aspects of a third-party agent and some of the legal possibilities with that. What exactly is going on with that?
Well, as anyone who's been involved with a third-party agent's involvement, it can get very irritating to you if you find out that your agent is also representing the other party to the transaction. However, in the past, that's been very common in the horse industry, where an agent is going to be representing and being paid a commission by both the buyer and the seller. It's become a big enough problem that at least three states have now enacted statutes that make it mandatory for an agent to disclose in writing their role in the transaction and to identify the amount of commission that they're receiving. Those states are California, Florida, and Kentucky, and I'm going to expect that trend to probably continue to increase to ultimately include the majority of the states.
Well, Denise, thank you so much for joining us today.
You bet. Always a pleasure.
That's Denise Ferris of the Ferris Law Firm. She's been our guest on Let's Talk Horses. Thanks for listening, and tune in again next week for another edition of Let's Talk Horses.